Health and Human Services to order. And I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2640. Colleagues, I think this bill got sent to us because I was the sponsor of it. However, it's why we deal with things around insurance that have to do with health care. This doesn't. So I would like to send it to the committee where it belongs. So I would entertain a motion to refer House Bill 2640 to the committee, House Committee on Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs.
I so move.
Representative. Without recommendation, by the way.
I move that House Bill 2640 be sent to House Committee on Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs without recommendation.
Representative Mona Sanderson moves House Bill 2640 to the Committee on Business, Labor, and Consumer Affairs without recommendation. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. And I will close the work session on House Bill 2640 and open a work session on House Bill 2151. A little bit out of order, folks. And we got some folks that would like to speak to this. No, not that one. That must be that one. Clean bill? Okay. Sandy, do you want to kind of
sure.
do your thing?
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, committee members. House Bill 2151, we had a public hearing on it at the end of January. If you'll recall, this is the bill that creates the physician visa waiver program in the Department of Human Services. It also was authorizing the department to impose an application fee to fund the program. It has an emergency clause. It also has a prior reference to ways and means. At that time, the public health officer and Representative Bates spoke to some possibilities of modifying the current federal regulations to include waivers for specialty practitioners for the rural Oregonian rural communities in Oregon. That we do have further explanation that speaks to that topic as well as others attached to your SMS from the Department of Human Services. At that point, we thought we might have amendments. We do not. So we were looking at taking some action today in committee.
And committee, as it turns out, everything that Representative Bates was concerned about can be and is being handled in administrative rule. And he is fully satisfied. I am fully satisfied that the bill needs to go the way it is. So if you have any questions, Grant's here. He can answer them. But I think we just move it myself. So,
Mr. Chair, is there a reason why it should go to Ways and Means?
Yeah, because it's got money involved.
Quite a bit?
Well.
Okay, from general fund.
Well, keep in mind any legislation that has more than a dollar attached to it in one form or another, we're sending to Ways and Means. So anything under a dollar we can handle here.
And there,
I'll just put it out of my pocket and put it on the table. But.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, also at the 27th meeting, we did have a fiscal impact statement, if that is included in your bill folder. If not, I can certainly get copies of that.
Okay.
Any other questions? Chair would entertain a motion.
I would move that we move House Bill 2151 to the refer to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass.
Yes. Representative Barker moves House Bill 2151 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, clerk, call the roll.
Representative
Anderson? Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Aye.
Representative
Moss Sanders?
Aye.
Representative
Tomei?
Aye.
Representative Weston?
Excused.
Chair
Cruz? Aye. House Bill 2151, having received the required majority, is declared passed and sent to Ways and Means. And we'll close the work session on 2151. Can we go back up here? Okay. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 2121, and we have Mickey and Terry. Want to come up and speak at this one? Okay. Yeah, let's, Sandy, do you kind of want to...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, good morning, members of the committee. House Bill 2121 also, we've had before the committee for public hearings previously, the early part of February. This is creating a statewide youth development system to be coordinated and increase access to the programs for youth. Basically, what this is doing is putting the youth development program into the current statutes under the Commission of Children and Families. You have a hand-engrossed document attached to your SMS that includes the dash ones, which basically just clarified the age references. Instead of saying through 18, it says 0 to 19. And then the dash two amendments that are hand-engrossed changes the implementation of the program from the Children and Commission on Children and Families to the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. And it specifies the implementation of that also. And the folks are here to speak to those amendments also.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mickey Lansing. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Commission on Children and Families. In concept, we are very supportive of House Bill 2121. Let me tell you a little bit about what we have been doing. Actually, in the last 5 years, the Commission on Children and Families received a federal demonstration grant to do much of what House Bill 2121 is directing us to do in statute. The goals were to increase awareness and opportunities for training technical assistance, to support youth development both at the state and local level, to promote youth development strategies and policies, planning, and program. So everything that is delivered, the kinds of policies that we develop, has a positive youth development component to that. Increase youth-adult partnerships for planning, decision-making, and contributions in their local communities, and influence the way adults value and see youth and see them as a resource. Our federal grant ends the 30th of September of this particular year. We have been working diligently with state agencies, and we've been doing that on a collaborative basis together, to try to integrate these positive youth development policies in everything we do. We have been out in communities training what we call youth ambassadors, and we have youth ambassador teams in approximately 28 out of the 36 counties who are starting to work in their local communities with the community around positive youth development. We feel in many ways we are already doing what is in this particular piece of legislation, and so I'm here today to say we support in concept, but anything with a fiscal impact for us would not be something that we could support. And I might also add, we have been working with community colleges and workforce development as a result of our local coordinated comprehensive plans. They have taken all that information, and we've worked with them in terms of planning youth summits and taking, again, this policy development out to all our particular constituents. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have.
Please identify. Oh, any questions?
Yes.
Yes, Representative Monty Sanders.
So, can you tell me where the funding, this is general fund? I'm reading in here with the new amendment that it says, subject to...
Available funding?
Yes, subject to receipt of federal funds. This is on page 5, line 13. Subject to receipt of federal funds, the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development shall lead a joint effort. So that takes care of that part. I mean, that doesn't...
That's correct. In Chair Tomei, Representative Mona Sanderson, Terry Johansson's going to speak to that issue because you're looking at the engrossed amendments to change the lead from the Commission on Children and Families to Community Colleges and Workforce Development. Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Nikki.
Good morning, Representative Tomei, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Terry Johansson, Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. And like the Commission on Children and Families, we support this Bill 2121 in concept, and in fact are working hard to do many of the things that are in this bill. However, as we face reauthorization of the Workforce Investment Act, we are expecting some significant changes in the youth portion of that federal funding, and at this time do not feel like we would be able to take the lead in the legislation that is suggested in 2121. We don't expect that we will have the federal funds. We are, of course, having to wait until that reauthorization is finalized to look at exactly what will happen to the State Youth Committee, which has been something that we have sponsored and maintained through the Workforce Investment Act and all of the requirements around services for youth are expected to significantly change in this reauthorization. So we would not want to take up the responsibility for a statewide positive youth development system and then not be able to carry it forward. The other piece of testimony that I'd like to provide to you today that we would have provided the last time the bill came before you as amended, but we ran out of time and so there wasn't time for public testimony that day, is that we would want to, even if we were to do this, we would want to do it in partnership with the Commission because our legislation and our requirements limit the age range of youth that we would be responsible for planning for. And so the younger youth are not covered in our funding. So we would have needed to do continue the collaborative partnership that we will do anyway. So.
Thank you. Any questions? I have a question. I guess I'm confused after listening to the two of you. I'm wondering what is the need for this bill? I'm hearing you say this is being done. There's no money to follow this. You're probably not going to get it from the feds. So can either of you answer me, why would we need this bill?
Chair Tomei and members of the committee, I think that that is a question that we did ask when we saw the bill. The bill really outlines most of the things that we're trying to do on an informal basis as opposed to a formal basis that would be created through statute. So we believe that we are doing many of the things, maybe not to the extent that they are outlined or articulated in this legislation, but certainly we have been doing the kinds of things in terms of looking at a positive youth development system. We've been doing that on our own for the last several years.
Chair Tremaine, members of the committee, I would ask that same question. I think it is not an effort that probably needs to be codified in statute, that it only makes sense for the partners who are working for positive youth development to pool their efforts and to move that forward in a collaborative way, and I don't think we need statute to assure that we would continue to do that with whatever funding we might be able to garner to keep it going.
Thank you. Any other questions? And there's no one else testifying on this?
No.
Thank you very much. Did you have a question?
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
We are. The House goes to Ways and Means.
Okay.
So, you can entertain a motion.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to send House Bill 2121 to Ways and Means. Is that correct?
You need to go through the amendments first.
Oh, okay.
So you can ask for a motion on adoption of the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay. I would entertain a motion for adoption of the Dash 1 amendments.
So moved.
We have a motion on the table to adopt the Dash 1 amendments. Do I hear any objections?
Yes. I don't feel that we should go forward with this bill because of the impact, fiscal impact it's basically creating, according to what the measure does, is create the statewide youth development system. And at this point in time, we're in such dire straits that I feel that this bill is unnecessary.
Okay, I need to wait for my staff here.
Oh, sorry.
So since we have an objection to, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Barker? No. Representative Dalto? Aye. Representative Montes Anderson? No. Representative Tomei? No. Representative Westland?
Excuse you.
Chair Cruz?
Excuse.
Motion fails. Accept the motion for the -2 amendments.
So moved.
Any discussion? Okay. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
No.
Representative Dalton?
Aye.
Representative Montes Anderson?
No.
Representative Tomei?
No.
Representative Westland?
Excused.
Chair Cruz?
Excused. Motion fails. Okay. I would entertain a motion for passage of House Bill 2121 to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Or, I guess.
I'll move just to get this so we can get it voted on. I'll move for passage of House Bill 2121.
To the
Ways and Means.
Okay.
With no
recommendation. Okay. Any discussion?
Yes. I just wanted to go on record that youth development is extremely important. In order to have a well-trained workforce, and I believe these concepts are right on, but at this point in time in the straits that we're in right now, there's no way that I would like to send a mandate, so to speak. Well, it isn't even a mandate, but send anything out to our local communities and to the state commission and our local commissions that, as well as our workforce. I forgot the name of it. The college workforce that would require any more work or coordination for them, and so that's why I will be opposed.
Any other discussion?
And I'd like to say the same thing. I think this is very important. The testimony by the witnesses saying that this bill, to make it a statute, would be unnecessary at this time. I'm going to recognize that and vote against this.
Any other discussion? Representative Anderson.
Well, I think we stand very strongly behind it, and I think I'd rather let Ways and Means decide if there is the money to do what the bill wants to do. And so I'd like to see it go to Ways and Means, but it'll look like it's going to.
Thank you, Representative. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
No.
Representative Dalton?
Aye.
Representative Montes Anderson?
No.
Representative Tomei?
No.
Representative West?
Excused.
Chair,
excused. Measure fails. Okay. Move on to House Bill 2287. Close the work session on House Bill 2121. Open the work session on House. Okay, and we'll open up the work session on House Bill 2287. Okay, do we have Sandy?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2287, we heard testimony on last week. This is what is referred to as the equity bill. We heard testimony from seniors and people with disability and the four A's, Jacqueline Zimmer. 2287 is a companion bill with 2288. These both address The budget allocation, well, let's just go with 2287. It requires the Department of Human Services to establish a budget and an allocation process for the Type B's area agencies comparable to the current process used by the local departments serving the elderly and the disabled. Requires the department to establish by rule the methodology for ensuring comparable budgets and allocations. Declares an emergency effective July 1. This has a prior reference to Ways and Means also. There are no amendments.
This one?
Yes.
Okay. Does the committee have any questions? Representative Warren Sanderson.
Thank you, Chair Cruz. I'm, again, because this wasn't in the governor's budget and because it does require funding, again, this is another issue, even though the testimony, especially from Clackamas County, was very persuasive. Until our revenues are better, I'm going to have to vote no.
Well, I'd like to point out to the committee that the decision on where the revenue is spent is a decision for Ways and Means, not for us. Our charge here is to decide whether we think this policy is good. Send it to Ways and Means and let them make the decision as to whether or not the money should be spent there. The chair thinks that, I mean, we've been trying to get this for quite a while now. I think this is good public policy. Whether it gets funded or not is not our decision. But any other discussion? I would entertain a motion.
I'll move that that House Bill 2287 be forwarded to Ways and Means with a due pass.
Representative Barker moves House Bill 2287 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Anderson. Aye.
Representative Barker.
Aye.
Representative Delta.
Aye.
Representative Monson.
No.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Weston?
Excused. Aye. House Bill 2287, having received the required majority, is declared passed. And I will close the work session on House Bill 2287 and open a work session on House Bill 2288. And colleagues, this is a mirror of the same bill. All right, I'm doing your job. Go ahead.
No, you can. You were doing a fine job.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a mirror bill, the 2287. This one, is this the methodology?
Methodology
and
the funding.
Right.
On the same concept of equity between the area agencies on aging and the state-operated programs. This also has prior reference to Ways and Means.
And colleagues, this is the same thing, only it only creates a vehicle for funding if indeed the Ways and Means folks decide to go to that priority. The reason we are sending them both down is because the methodology bill last time we tried to just move across the floor and then it got sent to Ways and Means, so we decided not to have that battle this time and just send it where it's going to end up anyway. So one could argue that we don't need both of these, but I argue that we do. My hope would be that at the very least the policy could get enacted and best case scenario they find some way to attach revenue to it, but that's pure speculative at this point. So,
again, Mr. Chair,
yes.
Policy-wise, this is a good thing, but right now it does require new money, and again, I just want to let you know that my vote will be no.
Thank you. Chair would entertain a motion.
Representative
Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that House Bill 2288 we move to the Ways and Means of the due pass recommendation.
Representative Barker moves House Bill 2288 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk, call the roll.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative Barker.
Aye.
Representative
Representative
Dalton? Aye.
Representative
Bonifant? No.
Representative
Tomei?
Aye.
Representative
Westland? Excused. Aye. House Bill 2288, having received the required majority, is declared passed. And I will close the work session on House Bill 2288. And I think I'm going to go a little bit out of order and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 193. Because I want to move this. Sandy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 193 is increasing the maximum allowable percentage, home loan percentage from 95% to 97% to the net appraised value on homes that are real property. It declares an emergency. This is a Senate bill that comes from the floor with a 28-0-0 with two legislatively excused members from the floor. And we have the department here to speak to the bill.
Yeah, John and company.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, John Mangus, Department of Veterans Affairs, and with me is John Coffey, who is the underwriter for the Veterans Home Loan Program. I would also mention up front that the Senate Bill 193 is supported by the United Veterans Group of Oregon, which is an organization made up of 12 nationally chartered veterans organizations here in Oregon, and the Oregon Mortgage Lenders Association. The chairman actually gave a good synopsis of Senate Bill 193. What it really does is changes the loan-to-value ratio from 95% to 97%, but does not change the amount of the loan that we are allowed to make, and it still leaves all the other underwriting criteria in place, especially the requirement for insurance. The department has been in the home loan business since 1945. It was a constitutionally created program for returning servicemen. To date, we have made over 333,000 home loans to returning Oregon veterans in an amount more than $7.4 billion. The change that we're requesting here actually brings us in line with Fannie Mae underwriting standards, moving from the 95% to 97% loan to value, and that's quite a change since 1990 when we started the loan program back up again. We've been trying to move more and more to the underwriting standards used in private industry, and today almost all of our loans are originated by contract originators throughout the state of Oregon, and this just makes it easier for them because we're pretty much plain vanilla at this point. And I request your consideration to pass this bill.
Any questions? Representative Mona Sanderson.
Chair Cruz, where does the when you borrow money through the veterans, where does the interest? I know it's very low. Where does the interest go?
As
to a bank?
Well, no. The Article 11A of the Oregon Constitution allows us to sell general obligation bonds of the state of Oregon. We sell those bonds, which under the federal tax code are qualified veteran mortgage bonds, and there are only 5 states in the nation that have that authority, Oregon being one of them. We sell the bonds, we take the proceeds, we make loans to veterans. As they repay that those loans, that money comes back into the Oregon War Veterans Fund sinking fund, and then that money is used to repay the debt as it comes due. The federal tax code, it's changed over the years, but currently whatever we sell bonds for, we're allowed to add a 1 1/8 as a spread, and out of that 1 1/8, you have to pay for the entire operation of your program, which isn't a lot, so you have to run pretty lean. We do that well, too.
Thank you.
Representative Dalton.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mangus, that Oregon War Veterans Sinking Fund, did the legislature take money out of that last week to
include as part of that rebalance?
I can give you quite a history on that.
A yes or no would suffice.
Well, no. If you're just speaking, the last time they took money, it cost them $77 million to repay it. Last week, what they did was a fund shift. We receive roughly $2.5 million general fund to operate our veteran services programs and county veteran service officer programs throughout the state. And when they're going through this, the legislative fiscal officer contacted us about moving the last quarter's general fund, doing a fund shift, saying you pay for this out of the home loan program, because Article 11A of the Oregon Constitution says you can use these funds for these various items that are other than the home loan program. Unfortunately, we told the LFO that unfortunately the Oregon Constitution, which was amended in 1977 to say you could do this, the federal tax code in the Mortgage Loan Subsidy Tax Act 1980 and reinforced in 1984 and 1986 says no, you can't do this, but they did it anyway. So what I end up having to do on that is we can't make any more payments to the counties, and I'll be probably winding down our service program in the last quarter of this year. And it was done as a fund shift rather than taking. So looks good on paper, but it doesn't work with the federal tax code.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, folks.
Going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 193 and open a work session on Senate Bill 193. Colleagues, the reason I'm doing this at this point in time, because we really aren't into Senate bills yet, is the fact that we need to give them this as soon as we can. And I'm on record as supporting veterans in every way possible. Any chance I have, this is the way to do it. So I thought it was a good way for us to start off the week. So Representative Dalto.
Mr. Chair, I move that we pass Senate Bill 193 to the House with a two-pass recommendation.
Representative Dalto moves Senate Bill 193 to the House floor with a two-pass recommendation. Any discussion?
I just would like to say I've purchased two homes using that veterans program. That's a great program, and I know it's helped the economy of Oregon many, many times over. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Dalto.
Would it be appropriate to put this on the consent calendar?
Well, let's see how it passes first, and then we'll consider that.
Wishful thinking.
It's wishful thinking, and if we have a unanimous vote, then we could do that, Representative, but let's make sure we have one first. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Anderson.
Aye.
Representative
Barker. Aye.
Representative Dalton.
Aye.
Representative
Monica.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative
Weston.
Excused.
Chair Cruz. The Cruz votes aye. Imagine that. It was unanimous. Who would have thought? Representative Dalton, would you like to move this be placed on the consent calendar?
Mr. Chair, I move that we place Senate Bill 193 on the consent calendar.
Representative Dalton moves Senate Bill 193 be placed on the consent calendar. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And Senate Bill 193 is passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation and placed on the consent calendar. And we will close the work session on Senate Bill 193. Thank you, gentlemen. And we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2517.
Nobody
to testify.
I'm interested. And they said they have somebody here. They don't.
Committee, because there's nobody from the department here to testify, and they were supposed to be here. We don't have a whole lot to talk about. So, having said that, I'm going to close the work session on 2517, or excuse me, public hearing, excuse me, and I'm going to reopen our work session on House Bill 2121 for the purposes of allowing the chair to vote on the bill and the amendments, or just the bill. So, Mara, are you on board with this? Okay. Chair votes no and serves notice of possible reconsideration. And with that, I will close the work session on 2121, and we are adjourned.
Okay. 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 Okay.